Dialing.
Thank you for calling Incorporating Services. How may I direct your call?
I was trying to chat Phyllis Brown, please.
She's actually gone for the day. Would you like her voicemail, or can someone else assist you?
How about Beverly Porter?
Okay, sure. May I tell her who's calling?
Sure, my name is Kevin.
Sure, one moment, Kevin.
Is tax filing deadline again. With ISL's Compliance Verification Service, we will remind you of filing deadlines and verify your payment has been received and applied properly by the state. Ask about our compliance verification services or about making ISL your registered agent when we come back on the line. Thank you for calling Incorporating Services Limited.
Away from her desk. May I put you in her voicemail, or did you want to speak with someone else? And may I tell them what's it in regards to, so I can like get
to
the correct
person? Oh, sure. And there's also like maybe do you have like, Karen Elliott?
We do.
Yeah,
she's
that,
still here.
If she's still there, that's perfect.
Okay, may I tell her what your call is in regards to? That way we can.
Sure. It's just regarding a company in Florida that I'm just trying to get some information on.
Okay, sure. One moment.
State and the District of Columbia, as well as to offshore parties seeking the advantages of establishing a corporate entity in the United States. How may we serve you? Instead of holding, you can also try the live support or contact us features on our website at www.incserv.com. That's INCSERV.com. Incorporating Services does not offer legal or financial advice. Please consult your lawyer or accountant. Never miss a franchise tax filing deadline again. With ISL's Compliance Verification Service, we'll remind you of filing deadlines and verify your payment has been received and applied properly by the state. Ask about our Compliance Verification Services or about making ISL your registered agent when we come back on the line. Thank you for calling Incorporating Services Limited.
Hi, this is Bev.
Oh, Bev?
Yes.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. My name is Kevin, and I was just trying to get some information on a filing that you had done. Let's see. It looks like it was last year.
Okay.
It's a Florida entity called Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc.
Okay.
I don't know if that rings a bell, but I got like a...
No?
I got a document number from the Florida Secretary of State, if that helps you.
No, I've got it pulled up here.
Okay. Because, like, I was looking at something and it said that, like, you were the registered agent for this company?
Correct.
All right, for Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc.?
Correct.
Okay, now did you do that filing or somebody else did the filing? I'm just confused at what happened here. Because it seems like a maze of trying to figure out what's what.
Now, let me see. Hold on one second and I'll see what I can tell you.
Okay.
What is it that you're looking for exactly?
Well, just trying to find out, like, you know, who the real entity is and kind of how this thing happened because, you know, it's just very confusing, you know. I'm doing some research for a private family and they're trying to make sense out of things and, you know, you call one number and you talk to this person and then you're kind of over here and over there and, you know, at one moment I think I'd be in Panama next or something, you know, like I've been all over the globe.
Well, the thing is that because of our client confidentiality policy, I can't share any of that information with you.
Sure. Well, in terms of like the incorporator, though, is that something like did you actually do the incorporation, or you just talked to the people that did the incorporation?
Our client filed this directly and named us registered agent.
Okay, and who is the client though?
I cannot divulge that to you. We have a very strict client confidentiality policy.
All right, I can tell you this. The address of 1540 Glenway Drive, Tallahassee, Florida, that's your that's your address?
Yes, it is.
For ISL, Inc., period?
For Incorporating Services, LTD, yes.
Well, this on the Secretary of State's thing, it says ISL, INC, period.
Yes, and it appears that when the document was filed, it was filed incorrectly. They did not list our name out correctly on the document.
Uh-huh. Because I talked to somebody at this Tallahassee address, and they, somehow they were using that this Lion's Head Land Trust had no permission to use, the Tallahassee address as the business address or the mailing address. What is the business address and the mailing address then?
We don't know, and that is correct. They are not to list our address as the principal address or the mailing address because they're not doing business at our address. We are just the registered agent. What I can tell you is that we have resigned as the registered agent.
Yeah, we did see that. I did see, or I saw that, and mm-hmm. So that's a little bit strange there. So all right, so as far as the incorporator, you don't know anything about the incorporator, or
no.
Okay. Let's see.
And unfortunately, they didn't file any annual reports that you can look at that would give you any information.
But somewhere in your files, I guess you're saying you can't turn it over right now, but somewhere in your files you have the name of somebody that supposedly contracted with you, your company, and paid you to be registered of age or had an agreement to be registered.
Well, they didn't.
They didn't what?
They didn't pay for registered agent service. That's why we are not their registered agent any longer.
Oh, so then they're not. So is it a situation where they approached you as a client and then just didn't follow up? No,
it's a situation where they filed it directly without our knowledge.
Okay, so then they're not
named
really,
us agent.
Right. So then how are they your client then? Then in that case, they wouldn't be your client, right?
Well, they're not any longer now.
Were they your client at some point in time?
Well, they had to be. They had our name. They listed it incorrectly. They had someone's name here.
Okay.
But they filed the document without our knowledge and then did not pay for the registered agent service, so we resigned.
Okay. And it was like that Karen Elliott who put in the resignation on behalf of like a Phyllis Brown or something like that.
That.
Mm-hmm. Because I do have one of the family members on the phone, but there's actually at this point there's a couple of groups that are really looking at that Lion's Head Land Trust Inc. entity, and anyone who's purporting to act as them or for them as that entity. And in fact, information has gone directly into a special agent of the FBI who's involved in a multi-state investigation already. Additional information has gone in because within 5 days of problems getting flagged at the Secretary of State's office in Florida back in February of this year, somebody associated with Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc., who also had done work for Donald Trump, ended up with his head blown off, literally the skull and the face removed from shotgun to the face, inside the property address that is the Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc. So it's gone to federal authorities. It has already
Not our address.
No, not your address. That's correct. So at this point, there's just a lot of people trying to find out, okay, who's trying to act as Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc. here? Who's even involved with them? who are the people, right? And that's right. The only bothersome part of this conversation so far with yourself and Elliot. I don't know if you're out there, but the only bothersome part of this conversation so far is, on one hand, you're saying they were your client, but then they're not your client, right? And we're trying to find out who is the client and who's actually operating for these people. Okay. Because there's a murder.
We did this for a law firm.
For a law firm?
Correct.
Would be the Allen Rose
law firm? Is that Larry Dino's firm?
I cannot divulge that information. We have a strict client confidentiality policy.
But I thought they're not your client.
Pardon me?
I thought they're not your client.
Yeah, because I guess I'm confused with saying you did this, but you didn't do it, right?
We didn't do it. We did not file the document. Someone filed the document without our knowledge. That's why our name's listed incorrectly.
So,
can I ask you a question? Have you notified any state authorities, criminal authorities about that?
No, but can you hold on for a minute? I'm going to let you talk to somebody else, okay?
Sure.
Okay, who would that be?
I'm going to try to get Karen Elliott for you. Can you hold on?
Absolutely. Take your time,
okay,
Beverly.
Thank you.
Elliott, back off and let me do my job, okay?
Okay.
Our full menu of services
Columbo.
Is available in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, as well as to offshore parties seeking the advantages of establishing a corporate
Kong.
Entity in the United States. How may we serve you?
Columbo, Columbo, Rockford.
Right.
Kojak.
Instead of holding, you can also try the live support or contact
it,
us features on our website at www.inkserve.com. That's INCSERV.com. Incorporating Services does not offer legal or financial advice. Please consult your lawyer or accountant. Never miss a franchise tax filing deadline again. With ISL's Compliance Verification Service, we'll remind you of filing deadlines and verify your payment has been received and applied properly by the state. Ask about our compliance verification services or about making ISL your registered agent when we come back on the line. Thank you for calling Incorporating Services Limited. Incorporating Services Limited offers nationwide corporate UCC and registered agent services for entrepreneurs, legal, tax, and financial professionals alike. You can visit our website at www.inkserve.com. That's INCSERV.com for additional information while you're holding. Our full menu of services is available in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, as well as to offshore parties seeking the advantages of establishing a corporate entity in the United States. How may we serve you? Instead of holding, you can also try...
Hi, this is Karen. How are you?
Oh, hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good, good. Yeah, so just trying to get some information here because it's been kind of a confusing situation with this Lions Head Land Trust, Inc. and, and the filings. And Beverly was helpful, but the part that was confusing is that in one breath she said Lions Head Land Trust, Inc. was your client, but they're not your client, and you guys did it, but you didn't do it. So, you know, we're trying to figure out what really took place with this filing, because in addition to that entity, you know, basically being accused of using the entity to further estate fraud. There's also allegations by other family, a separate family, whose brother ended up, what they believe was murdered at one of the properties in Florida. And he did work for Donald Trump, by the way, too. So definitely going to be getting some attention here at some point. But he ended up with his head blown off inside the property in Boca Raton, Florida, that the land trust is controlling. within about 5 days of some of the improprieties getting flagged at the Florida Secretary of State's office. So, you know, we're trying to get some confirmed information as to who's doing what, because some of these matters are already in a federal court proceeding. The family members have taken certain matters to the FBI and other authorities. So we're just trying to confirm who actually works for who and is doing what here.
Okay. So let me take some information down from you. Where are you calling us from?
My name is Kevin. Where am I calling you from physically, or what are you talking about?
What are you with the law firm? Are you with who are you?
I'm just a private consultant. I actually do a lot of media relations work. You know, I've gotten big articles into like the New York Post, contributed to like an article that became on the front page of the New York Post, contributed to an article that was a 2-page expose in the New York Post, have other media contacts as well. But I also do other generic, you know, property and company related research and other consulting for a variety of entities as a you know, contractor.
Okay.
One of those persons I actually do have on the phone with us right now, who's actually the impacted family member from the estate case, who's gone directly to the FBI and had already been working with federal authorities before this even came up. And his name is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot, are you still there? Elliot?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that information. So when I look at this particular company in Florida, I see a couple of things that are not correct. One of them is our registered agent name. So this technically should have never been filed with the Florida Department of State because our registered agent information was not correct.
Right.
The other thing I notice is the name and address of the incorporator is not anyone related to incorporating services. It has a name and an address of which I'm guessing you already have record of.
Yes.
And then Beverly Porter's name would have been listed on the document. Unfortunately, in Florida, they allow for electronic filing. And what that means is incorporating services can be listed as the registered agent with one of our assistant secretaries listed as the authorizing registered agent signatory without our even knowing.
Okay.
So because this does not have Beverly's live signature on it, that shows that it was electronically filed at the Florida Department of State. So we wouldn't have known about this filing until either we did our own research and found that we were directly named, or whoever filed the document alerted us of the same. Hopefully it's the latter, because that makes it a lot easier on us. And as the registered agent, we are responsible for accepting and forwarding service of process and any state and government mail that's received. We are not affiliated with the company at all. Their client who filed this is a client of ours, of which that information is confidential. We have strict regulations here internally that we are not to provide contact information to any third parties. Now, of course, if we receive a subpoena or something from, you know, a higher government, then we'll take a look at that and we'll do what we are responsible to do as far as providing contact information.
Sure.
But I cannot readily provide you with the contact that we have in our system. And then the other thing I notice is that we recently resigned from this entity, which means they did not pay us. So we are no longer the registered agent for this company as of 9/14/2016. Which could cause issues with service of process, because after a certain period of time, since we've removed ourselves, we do not become responsible for forwarding any type of state or government mail or potentially service of process, of course, depending on where it comes from.
Well, right. And so I guess that all sounds good. If I can just clarify a couple things there, because what I understand, speaking directly to people inside the Florida Secretary of State's office, and also having one other conversation I'll tell you about, which is that ISL, Inc., at that address or as an entity, is not an active entity in the as a Florida corporation or a Florida entity,
because that is not our name as it's registered. That name was improperly used. We are incorporating services, LTD in Florida.
Okay.
So ISL Inc. could very well be an inactive entity. But if you search for us as incorporating services, you will find us there as an active entity. So this was misindexed.
The other thing that's wrong with this is
our registered agent address was also used as a principal address and a mailing address, of which a filing comes through our office, we do not allow that because that is not accurate information. They are not located at that address, and we do not allow our address in Florida to be used in that manner.
Okay, that's what I was going to tell you, that on February the 18th of this year, I spoke to Melissa at the Florida address at Incorporating Services LTD, LTD, I believe, at the Florida address. And she said the same thing, that she had no knowledge of any registered agent agreement on file. She also said that the principal place of business address and mailing address would have never been allowed in the filing.
We don't allow any of our clients to do that. She is correct.
Right. And then one thing that you should know, okay, and because this started on February 18th of this year, I had a direct conversation with Lalani Ochoada of Orlando, and Elliot Bernstein, who's on the line with us now, was also on that conversation. Lalani Ochoada consented to do a recorded call. That could be used for law enforcement purposes or whatever regulatory purposes. And she was confirming at that time, never been in Palm Beach County in general, never maintained an address in Boca Raton, never heard of 7020 Lions Head Lane, had never authorized anyone to use her name to do any incorporation, had never heard of anybody or any entity called Lions Head Land Trust. So that was reported, a couple of these things have been reported to the Secretary of State in Florida as of February 18th of this year. And then today, additional details were provided as well. At which point when I was going in there, I saw that, you folks kind of backed out through the, Delaware company, just recently this month on the 14th. So what you're saying is that you do have knowledge, though, that it was one of your clients who did the actual electronic filing with the Secretary of State?
No, I can't confirm that either. We would be informed that we are to set a company up in our system with specific contact information, but I can't confirm if they actually did the filing, if they're just alerting us that, here's the contact information, because it was done directly. And I don't know, when I look at that, so when we file in Florida, we don't use the electronic system, we fax file. And when you fax file, there's always a cover letter that goes along with the document that would have the specific filing information. Unfortunately, when an electronic filing goes through, that information is not available, so you really have to take it at face value that the mailing address, the principal place of business, the incorporator information is all related to the company, and in this instance, it's not. Apparently, mailing and physical, definitely not. And then based on what you just told me about the incorporator conversation, they had no knowledge of it either. So essentially,
what you can say is that a law firm that is your client, maybe even on other files, but some law firm that you have as a client is the one that contacted you about Lions Head Land Trust Inc. or somehow developed a client relationship in relation to Lions Head Land Trust Inc.
I honestly can't say any of that because that would give you way too much information about who the contact is in our records. I can't give you any of that information.
It's most likely a law firm affiliated with a gentleman named Alan Rose. Elliot, what's the name of that law firm? Elliot? I may have lost Elliot. There is a...
Also Kevin Lawrence Pino.
Well, no, I was about to get to Lawrence Pino, but we couldn't hear you until just now. What's Alan Rose's law firm?
Rose. I'm not going to be able to confirm either way anyway if you provide the names. I can't say yes or no because, again, they're only the contact in our system for purposes of providing the registered agent service. They're not necessarily the person who electronically filed, or they might not even be affiliated with the entity anymore because, as we know, relationships change. So I can only say that we were provided information on this entity by a client of ours, and we set it up in our system like we do for all the other hundreds of, you know, tens of thousands of entities that we represent.
So you set it up like you, so you kind of like started a profile for them, but then nothing.
We consider it a direct filing. So our registered agent information is all across the United States, and unfortunately, anybody can get their hands on it at the state level.
Uh-huh.
We call filings that don't come through our office a direct filing. So this one appears to be a direct filing that was done in Florida by way of their electronic system. That's the only thing I can confirm, only because I know what those forms look like when they come back filed. They look much different than a filing that would be submitted via fax or over the counter. But
right.
I can't confirm any of our client information, who would have submitted that document. Sounds like you've talked to the Florida Department of State. They likely can't confirm that information either.
Well, it's done electronically. That's all we know. We know that it was done electronically. We do know Lawrence Pino is an attorney from Orlando that was involved with this Lion's Head Land Trust Inc. and Alan Rose of, what's the name of that law firm, Elliot? Yeah, I keep losing him. Anyway, but wouldn't there be some type of procedures, like once you find out that you have a client that's done this type of thing, you know, don't you have to take some action to, I mean, because that's a fraudulent filing, right? I think you'd have to drop them as a client, report it to somebody.
Well, we've
right?
resigned. We've resigned off of them, which as a registered agent, we do have the right to resign should we not be paid for a service we're providing. So we are not the registered agent. We resigned off of them on 9. What did the state say?
But you're saying that you weren't on any day the registered agent, that somebody misused your name fraudulently.
Right, right.
So our name was misused.
Did you report that to the State Department?
I'm sure Melissa did if you spoke to her in February, because she works in our Florida office.
Well, no, she, at that point in time, she actually was concerned. She said that she had no records of having Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc. as a client. And she also said that the ISL, INC, period name was not doing business, you know, that was not an authorized name to do business in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ended up saying, but, you know, it's possible that, you know, there's a client through one of our other offices using our other name that might have, you know, made a mistake. So she was supposedly going to look into it. Whether she called the Secretary of State or not, I don't know. She did tell me very clearly, because I have notes on it, that the state should have flagged this and not let it go anyway.
And I said the same thing. Yep.
Right, right. So as far as once you find out that a client has used your name and entities in fraudulent and false filings, you know, are there any steps that you take as a company to either, you know, report that client's activities to, you know, authorities, or what happens there?
Well, it's tough because we would have reached out to the client to get them to pay a registered agent invoice, of which they didn't pay. So it leads me to believe they would not have gotten back to us on the mailing information either. And we can go back to the state and say, our name was misplaced on this filing. This should have never been filed, but we're talking over a year ago. So I can't say what the Department of State would do in that situation. But when we find out our information is being misused, we do the best that we can to contact who we have in our system to make those corrections. But our hands are also tied because we have no right to then go in and file an amendment saying that the information is wrong, because then we would be signing on behalf of a company we've got nothing to do with.
Uh-huh.
Other than being appointed as the registered agent. So we have a very specific responsibility when we are named, and those two items are
fraudulently.
And that is a Department of State issue because this filing did not come through our office. Had it come through our office, we would have noticed that our name was not listed correctly, and we would have let the client know at that time, this needs to be fixed. But because the electronic system in Florida does not catch that issue, whoever reviewed it approved it and let it be filed. So that's a Department of State issue.
Right, and that's what was happening in February of this year, where somebody out of the Division of Corporations was basically said the same thing, that it should have been flagged at the examiner level and that mm-hmm. they did have internal procedures to verify if the registered agent is a corporation, LLC, or company, that they have a procedure to verify if it's a valid active company to do business in Florida at the time mm-hmm. that they review it. So it should have been flagged there as that, wait a minute, this company's name, you know, whether it's incorrect or not, who knows, but this company's name is not valid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it should have been flagged by them, and then that's kind of where things went.
Yeah,
then,
because when I look up ISL, Inc., they filed a voluntary dissolution in 1997.
Exactly.
So that is not us. If you look up Incorporating Services, LTD, you are going to find an active entity that qualified in Florida on March 8th, 2005. That is the name that's associated with the 1540 Glenway Drive. No other company has the right to use that address except for us. And it should have been
playing a name game, or go ahead.
I can't tell you what happened. It could have been an honest mistake on behalf of whoever filed the document, but then, like they said, when it went to the examiner, they should have caught it. That is their responsibility, to catch anything that's on there that's not correct. As far as the principal address and the mailing address, they wouldn't look at those two things because those addresses can be anywhere, even international. But really, it should have been flagged when that registered agent name was not confirmed.
Right. Okay.
Well, as Kevin said, and just so you're clear, the home that was purchased through this land trust, as soon as it was discovered that there was something name game going on and brought into a federal court right at that same time, the owner of the house was found murdered with his head blown off.
We wouldn't have any of that information as the registered agent, though. I mean, please know that we do our best to know who our clients are, but when it comes to an electronic filing like this that we have no control over, there's not very much we can do.
Right.
So I think
maybe you should contact the Department of State and put all that in writing regarding this filing, because your withdrawing actually kind of seems to me perplexing how you can withdraw when you're not legally the person. You're claiming you never were the registered agent, but yet you're withdrawing as it without notifying anybody of a fraud. And I'm just saying, if I were covering my ass, I would be writing a letter right now to the police and to the state, notifying them of everything you're aware of, including the fact that the land trust might be involved in a murder and a fraudulent real estate transaction.
I understand what you're saying, but that's asking us to go outside of our responsibility as the registered agent. Florida statute specifically say...
Right? If your name is used fraudulently, there is a statute called fraud. I mean, your company's name is being misused. You're the star of the show right now.
Right. Like, for example, yeah, hold on, Elliot. For example, right, you just look on the incorporating document, as it were, and you go to the bottom of it. Florida statutes 817.155 make it a felony for any false information submitted in a document to the Department of State. And I guess the bigger question that Elliot has, and it's actually just
submitted. So whoever submitted the document has provided the information incorrectly.
Well, right.
That
but
does
here's,
not
here's,
necessarily mean that it was being fraudulently used. They incorrectly listed our name because we do use ISL Inc. in a handful of states. So if they were using information based on, say, Alabama, we are ISL Inc. in Alabama, but we are not ISL Inc. in Florida. And to me, when I look at this, I've been doing this for 11 years, this is a Department of State issue because they initially filed a document that had incorrect information on it. It had a correct registered agent address, but it did not accurately list our registered agent name. When we resigned off of this entity in September, we had to list the name as it was filed with the Florida Department of State, which is likely how you got my name, because you see that I signed the resignation document that was filed that removes our responsibility as the registered agent, which means we are no longer responsible for accepting and forwarding state and government mail or service of process. We have withdrawn our responsibility as the registered agent because we were not paid for a service.
But you never were the registered agent.
Right, right.
You're
And
so we're going to continue in this circle. That is an issue with the Department of State. They incorrectly filed a document that should have never been filed.
Hold on. Elliot, hold on. I don't want to go in circles and circles, but it's the basic question of how do you resign from something that you never were? It's because to me, it seems that there would be a different document that you could say, please take correction here because we never authorized this. This was not correct. We never did this. This is not us. We don't have an agreement on file. We haven't been paid. There's a big difference between a notice of correction and you're resigning because you're resigning from something you never were.
We would be correcting an articles of organization that we did not file, that we were not incorporator on. So that would be us filing a correction on a document that we have no right to correct. And as a registered agent, there are statutes that allow us to remove ourselves, which is exactly what we did.
So
but you were never in there to remove yourself. See, that's the issue. And that's where you're going to have a real sticky problem in this, I think. Just from observing it and why I'm saying to you, possibly your best move on the chessboard right now, knowing these things and talking to Melissa about what she knew and when, that you immediately contact authorities and say that your name was used improperly, that I don't know how you withdrew a position. So right now, in fact, you're culpable and responsible for all actions of that corporation as the registered agent
up until the 14th.
Are you saying you're legally responsible for that?
Our only relationship with this particular entity is that we were appointed as the registered agent or attempted to be appointed as the registered agent since they did not use our correct name.
Which one is it? Did they file with your permission or did they not file with your permission?
Unfortunately, when a state allows for electronic filing, they can file a document, and if they have the name of someone here who is an assistant secretary, and even if they don't, we've had filings before go through where they've listed somebody's name as signatory that isn't even here. And that's the problem with electronic filing, is that there are no boundaries when it comes to the registered agent knowing when they're being appointed or when they're not, if the information is listed correctly, which is why it becomes the Department of State's responsibility to review the documents before they get approved.
So are you saying that if Lionshead Land Trust, Inc., had used your name correctly, they were authorized to list you as the registered agent, and that you were the registered agent between the time of filing up until your time of resignation?
I can't confirm or deny that. That's providing too much confidential information, unfortunately. We have strict policies here internally, and this conversation has probably gone on way too long, and I've provided you all the information that I can at this point.
Who's your direct
report? It sounds like you've talked to several people over the course of several months, and I'm trying to figure out, like, how much more information do you think that we can provide you that we haven't already?
Here, why don't you provide me with the head of the company, name and number, please?
Well, I'd like to give him your information instead of the other way around.
Well, I know what you'd like, but I'd like his name and number, please. So if you're refusing to give it to me, I'd like that stated on the record here.
has this conversation been recorded? Because I was not aware of that, and that would be a huge issue.
I'm just making a record of the call, and you'll be getting a copy of it to an email address or location I can find. But to get that clear, you're refusing to give me the owner of the establishment's name and number.
Are you referring to her company's owner or Lion's Head Land?
No, her company.
Yeah, he's just asking for your company, you know, basically management executive in your company, you know, somebody of, you know, actual.
The president.
Yeah.
The president.
And that's not information that we readily provide. That's why I wanted to take your contact information down. I will go talk to him about this, and then he and I can give you a call back.
Well, I don't know. I don't know who he is, and I just want to be clear if that's what you're doing, that you're refusing to give me that information under some kind of secrecy you can maintain on who you're.
No, it's not on that at all. It's out of respect for him as the president of this company.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, but when a client or a person contacts you and asks for the president's name, there's usually a reason you're not giving it to somebody. But
no. It's completely out of respect for him. I'm not going to allow you to call him with all of this information if he's going to tell you the same thing.
Well, his name's on a company that purchased my father's home where there's a dead guy.
Well, No.
You've got it confused. You've got it confused.
Yeah, you're talking about the land trust now, Elliot, and she's talking about
that
her,
is not us.
Her company.
That is not us. I don't have any of that information. I don't have any information other than what you can see on
the
Florida Department of State's website. Exactly.
Well, no, they're not.
You just told me you're the registered agent for the last 9 months. So you're the registered agent of this land trust up until your resignation, and I think he has a great concern in knowing the facts, and I don't know if you're going to give them to him or not, but I find it highly disturbing that you're not.
And I understand your frustration, I think you're confusing the relationship of the registered agent with this particular entity. He's not going to be able to provide you with any other information that I have in this phone call because we are very limited on the information that we were provided. I can see exactly what you can on the Florida Department of State website.
I am not permitted
to give you contact information in our system. We have confidentiality rules internally.
But basically, ultimately, Karen, this is what I would be thinking about, and I'm trying to help you here, because you've been pretty direct in all your responses. Elliot, I can go to her company's website, and I can see that Rosemary M. Twilley is the chairman of the board, and Carol B. Braverman is some other board member, executive type thing. So I can get all of that information, Elliot. We can get the right people of actual corporate responsibility level to be advised here. What I would be concerned about with, if I was you, though, Karen, is that essentially what you're doing right now is you're obstructing the ability. It's essentially like interfering with lawful process because
we
right
have not
now, hold
received
on,
any
hold,
information
hold on,
now.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Just let me finish first, please. Okay. In one breath, you're saying that responsible people behind the Lion's Head Land Trust Inc. were your clients, they did something fraudulently, even using even your own name, to obstruct actually the process to serve them process, right? And at the same time, you're saying that you were the registered agent, so therefore we should be able to just give you the process, right? Now you're saying you're not the person and you're not giving out who the person, there's no disclosure of whoever could have been served process here. That's what's being obstructed. Okay.
So that information of who service of process would have been delivered to, had we as the registered agent received that information, and I can't even tell you that we would have accepted it because the name of the registered agent was wrong. So when we review service of process that is received, we have specific criteria that we look at. And if any of that information is wrong, we have the right to refuse it. So had we received legal documents and it was properly served at the time we were listed as an active registered agent, we would not have obstructed that service because that is our top responsibility as a registered agent. I can't say, because the name was misproperly listed on the website, what would have happened had service of process been delivered. But I can look in our system and see that we have a contact for service of process. Had we received something while we were named as the agent, we would have properly accepted and served it to the contact that we had in our system. That is our responsibility.
But hold on, Elliot, let me finish the point here. But
I cannot say what they would have done with it on their end, but we as the registered agent would have done what our biggest responsibility is, and we would have sent that along. I have no idea who the principals of this business are. I have no idea who Leilani is. I have no idea where they're physically located. I don't have any of that information.
But you do have some information in your own business files as to the client that contacted your company to start this process off, right? And essentially, what you also have admitted is that you have knowledge, direct knowledge, from your own actions, really, that client falsely used information with the Secretary of State, okay?
I can't say that the client in our system is the same one who filed electronically. I have not said that this entire conversation. I do not know who filed that document electronically. I cannot confirm if it was our client or not. I cannot confirm if it was Leilani who was listed on that document. I have no idea who filed that. None at all. The only information I have is the information that's on the public database and the confidential information that we have in our system. And if you'd like to pursue that further, then we need some type of subpoena or legal document that's requesting our contact information. And then at that point, it would be reviewed by our registered agent division leader and upper management to determine if that information is to be provided or not.
The client contact information, basically, even though you have knowledge that the client, the entity that the client was contacting you for, has used false, well, somebody used false information, right?
Correct.
And since the client never contacted you to correct it, you know that the client's never contacted you to correct it. You know that the client's never paid you to do the job. So I would think that you have a lot of information that the client might actually be involved with the obstruction of process.
I cannot confirm that. How would I know that when our relationship with this particular client is...
Wait, Karen, this is how you know it, okay? You've got a file on this, whoever this client is, whoever this law firm is that you won't disclose, maybe they're involved in Panama, maybe who knows where they're involved, right? You've got information on them. They started a file with you. You have information that they've never moved to correct clearly false Department of State filings in the 18 plus months or 14, 15 plus months, whatever it is, that the entity was corrected. They've never moved to correct it. They never moved to notify you to correct it. They never moved to notify you that a mistake was made, and they never paid you the fees for being registered of agent. So it sounds like your company has a lot of pieces of information to show that your own client is obstructing process here. That's the information you would rely upon, right? So you can't say that you don't know anything. You know those things.
I don't. Everything that you said, I can't confirm one way or another.
Well, you've already told me that they didn't pay you the fees.
Which is proof on the Florida Department of State website, and any registered agent you speak with will say the same thing. Every single state has a statute that allows for a registered agent to resign from that responsibility should we not be paid for the service. That is how we remove ourselves for doing a service that we're not being paid for. And this is in all states. We go through a process in every state where we are a registered agent and resign off of these companies that do not pay us. They do not. We have to alert the client that we're doing it, but we do not need signature from them. We sign those documents as registered agent and file them in these various states to remove ourselves, because we, 10 years from now, don't want to continue to receive and send documents to a client who's not paying us for a service. We are a service company. That's how we make our money. So if they're not paying us, we resign. And you can look at a resignation of agent, and you can see exactly what's on there. You can look up the statute if you'd like. That's what happened in this instance. We didn't get paid. We followed the Florida statute, and we removed ourselves as the agent.
Right, but you also said – Elliot, let me finish, please. You also said in the beginning, okay, that you're presuming that the client didn't do anything to correct it. Anyone can look at the Department of State website and see that the client has taken whoever this mystery client –
Clearly, because it's still listed as ISL Inc. No one fixed it.
Right.
But we didn't file those articles of organization, so our hands are tied.
So that's my –
We can't arbitrarily file a document to correct another document that we didn't file.
So that's actually the ultimate point that I'm saying, for your own purposes, you may want to take in and get some really good advice from your in-house counsel, because you have knowledge, direct knowledge, that they never paid you, they never moved to correct, because you can't see it anywhere on the Department of State. I'm assuming if they ever sent your company notice that it was a mistake or correct, then you would know about it, right? You haven't said that you know about it, so presumably they haven't done that. So you have several pieces of information that the client's identity and whereabouts that you're withholding is a client who's actually taken false information or false actions in that filing. That's all I'm saying. So you do with it what you want, but I would keep that one in mind. Go ahead, Elliot.
Well, I also was saying, you know, you're saying in one breath that you withdrew because of fees, but in the other breath you're saying it isn't you. That you know, you now are cognizant, you were cognizant coming into this, that your name was misused. That's a fraud. It's probably a felony, and you should also look up the term misprision of felony and aiding and abetting. Because if you have recognition that somebody misused your name fraudulently on a State Department filing and claimed you were a registered agent when in fact you were not, and you fail to report that to proper authorities, I would assume somebody, and that's why I wanted to talk to the president, just because I know that that's who I'll be suing in that instance, is responsible for the acts of his company. So if my company...
The acts of which company? You need to which company?
The acts of Incorporating Services Limited. Since Incorporating Limited Services has to have knowledge at this point that your so-called client never moved to correct, never sent you notice that it was a mistake, never sent you notice to correct internally, never paid the fee, and here you are however many months later, and you're basically aiding and abetting the client to obstruct lawful process by not disclosing who the client is, because lawful process would be able to get to them but for this false filings that you know about that is being allowed to continue.
And therefore, if I were you, to cover my ass, I would be notifying state authorities in writing of what you know, that somebody misused your corporate name, registered a corporation or an entity improperly, listing you as the registered agent, that you shouldn't have resigned because technically, according to you, you never were the registered agent. And really what should be happening here is not a withdrawal for fees, but a withdrawal because you've been acknowledged that your company's name has been fraudulently used in a company that appears to be some shell thing that we're alleging has fraudulent real estate, that the owner of that fraudulent real estate's head is missing in the house.
Right.
The center's on it.
Which is a hold on. You can do yourself, if you want to take one other name, you may want to look up Mitchell, H-U-H-E-M, Huem. Okay, because it's actually his head and brain fragments that were found in Elliot's father's
This is
garage.
too much information. It really
Well,
is.
that's what
I, you know.
that's what your client's implicated. Your client is implicated in this, okay? And
Well, your corporation is the name that's on the document. So
As
legally, you're
a registered
And by the way,
agent.
that's right. So you're on it. To put you in, right there, you're in the mix. Your name's now going into federal things. It has been all along. If you want the federal case numbers, we'll give them to you. It's going into FBI filings. It's already been in FBI filings. So that's what I'm saying. This is a red alarm. You should have ran this into your president already. I'm quite surprised you haven't.
Our legal counsel
and
compliance
exactly.
counsel and all of
What is
those,
your
you know.
title? What is your title?
So my question is, why haven't
title?
we received – I am the Assistant Vice President of Client Development.
Okay.
We have not received service of process. Do you know if anything has been sent?
Nothing was going to be sent until we found out where it was really going. Because actually, until you just did that September 14th, filing, that was the first time confirmed. And when I spoke to Melissa in February, she couldn't confirm if it really was one of your companies because she didn't see any information in the Florida in your Florida office. So
right.
obviously we weren't, no one was going to serve process on her because we already knew that it was wrong. So until you're and I just saw, and Elliot and I, well actually Elliot hasn't even seen it yet, I just saw it for the first time today, that because we were following up with the Secretary of State, where there's a pretty significant problem there, and you're correct in that, but I think Elliot makes a lot of wise recommendations that there's some considerations you may want to take to your compliance and counsel and all those people. Because today was the first day it was discovered that the Delaware office would be the office to go to, right? Obviously, no process was going to go to the other entity because we already knew that that other entity was not correct. So there wouldn't have been any process served before now because there couldn't be process served. And that's actually the point of this conversation, which is still no way to serve process because your company knows the name of the client. Your company knows some basic information of the client. So your company is actually kind of square in the middle.
Of which client, though? Which client?
Of whoever.
Because how it works on our end is we have
of Lionshead
law
Land
firms
Trust,
who are clients. We have corporations who are clients. We have entrepreneurs who are clients. We have service companies like ourselves who are clients. We are provided contact information for purposes of serving process and forwarding state and government mail. That does not mean that we are serving who you are speaking of directly. We could be serving someone who has the relationship with them. So the relationship that we have with clients are not necessarily the direct client. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that sounds like Panama Papers to me right there. But anyway, what you do know and what you've actually – so just to clarify which client, what you've admitted during this call and suggested during this call is that some law firm on behalf of the Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc.
I never said that.
Well, you said
I never said our client was a law firm. I said we have law firms who are clients. We have corporations who are clients. We have entrepreneurs who are clients. We have banks who are clients.
Kevin, the woman we talked to prior to her who transferred us to her.
Right. I think actually, you're right, it was Beverly. Beverly said that it was
right.
a law firm. Yeah, Beverly said it was a law firm. So you know, I know you're doing a pretty – you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's for following your company line, but you may want to take this, like I said, into your legal
I'm
counsel.
Going to. I'm going to go speak with him before I provide you with his contact information because that – I'm not going to have him walk into this conversation.
We're already going to get his information. Kevin already looked it up. Meaning it's not a secret.
No. Hold on. The website, I don't know if the website necessarily gives compliance counsel and all that. They might have other additional counsels.
No, but
not...
I'm talking to the president. I'm talking to the president who you know I'm going to go to next, and that's who we're going to have to serve process to in this. You know, at some point, I need to have him contact us within 24 hours. How's that? So you go talk to him and find him wherever he is and tell him you didn't give him our need to talk to him.
Let's give her and actually, Karen, again, I understand you're doing a job, Karen, but we're also trying to help you too, because this could be a very sticky thing. And as and I know that you seem to be offended by hearing about the brain fragments in the brain, but we actually say that for your own personal safety and your own personal knowledge. His name is Mitchell Hewam. I have confirmed right from the Palm Beach Sheriff's Office's pictures of some of those brain fragments. This has become a very, very sticky, ugly matter. And people's lives actually have alleged to be in danger, okay? Because there's that many millions of dollars that are actually hidden behind door number one, which hides behind door number two, which hides behind door number three. Let me give you a case number that you can also take with you. And just give me a moment and I will have that for you. Okay, it was right there.
In her company, she contacts.
Hold on. Elliot, one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
Okay.
Let me give you a federal case number. This is a case that's currently active in the federal court in the Northern District. It's the U.S. District Court, Northern District of Illinois. And the docket number is 13-CV-03643. And I'd have to look, let me see here. Basic information of this Secretary of State process went into that federal court on February, hold on one second, if any of your lawyers were able to pull up cases through the PACER, the case that they...
How did you know that's what I was doing?
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to shortcut you to get you the docket. All right, let me see. I think it would be a docket. Well, it would be document number.
Simon Bernstein.
Yes.
Something.
Yeah.
Let me see.
I've got it right here. You don't have to give me any more information.
Yeah, but there's a specific filing where the background is actually brought out because all
this gives me everything. Gives me everything.
Okay.
You want the February 24th, 2016 motion for it's under document number 214, but it's filed on February 24th, 2016.
Yep, I see it.
Yep, and then Lion's Head Land Trust is all laid out in mm-hmm. that document. The day before is the day that Mitchell Hewam's brain fragments were being found in the home after the conversations that happened with the Secretary of State.
And by the way, just so you understand how serious this is and how important it is, especially to me, my father has also been alleged to have been murdered in that house. He was the prior owner and built it with my mother.
So finding out who the real client is behind the hidden door is something that's going to federal investigators, state investigators, something that's being pursued from the federal court or through the federal court. Go ahead, Elliot.
Right. That's what I was trying to say. You know, I might come off weird sometimes because I
no,
am
No,
so
I understand. I can hear your frustration. I completely understand. And we do get calls
no,
like this from time to time. And it becomes an explanation of who we are in relation to all of these entities. And
right.
We have a responsibility to know who our clients are. They have a responsibility to know who their clients are. So we, as the registered agent, we do our diligence. We do check OFAC, and we do block lists, and we don't deal with anyone who comes from a country we're not supposed to be doing business with. We know who our clients are. But when it gets further than that, we have to use the information that we have in our system. That's
right.
What our responsibility
right.
is.
Right.
If this particular client who's listed as our contact needed to provide us with direct contact information, we update that, because then that becomes who we are responsible for sending registered agent invoices to, annual report notices to, any other state or government mail that comes through. So we have the relationship with the client. They have to have the relationship with their client.
Right, right. I get that. I guess it's that fine line of information updating. Like, did you get enough information to do due diligence with your client? Because your client...
Right. I mean, and we go so far as if we send mail out and it comes back undeliverable, we'll try to search to see, have they moved? What happened? Do we have the wrong zip code? I mean, we've got specific criteria here that we use when we update contact information, when we enter information in our system. We have to make sure we have a physical address when we serve process. It has to go to a physical address. It cannot go to a PO box. So we've got specific things that we have to do here internally to assure that we've got the correct information of our clients.
Right. Got it.
For all. The only piece lacking there, by the way, is what to do exactly when somebody's misusing your name fraudulently or allegedly.
Yes, and I'm going to actually call the Florida Department of State, because that is a problem. When electronic
Sure.
filings are done through their system, it is the examiner's responsibility to make sure that information is correct. Unfortunately, not all states have the requirement that the registered agent be notified prior to being appointed, and that is unfortunate. And trust me, it causes us a lot of problems, because we are named all across the country and find out about it when we receive mail on behalf of them. We look in our system, they're not there. We then have to do research to figure out who we're supposed to bill. I personally am not a fan of electronic filing. I think the registered agent should be required to have a live signature consenting to the appointment every single time. But unfortunately, how far am I going to get with that? It makes it really hard for us, because then we've got to figure out, who do we bill for this? We are responsible for this entity because we have been appointed, but not all states require you be notified. There are some states that make you check a box saying
well,
that you let that agent
that,
know.
Wait, there's a great point you just made there. Who did you bill?
We billed the client in our system.
And that client's the client that failed to pay you.
Correct. But I cannot, unfortunately, confirm who that is.
I guess disclose it to me. But but that's amazing what you're saying to me. And in short, your client used a name that you never billed for, because you couldn't bill it to the wrong address, right?
There are times that we find out we were appointed as agent 5 years ago and we didn't know about it. And it's unfortunate, because 5 years have passed. We've been providing a service that we had no idea that we were even providing.
But that's what used properly. And there's no big problem, meaning somebody, you just didn't get any service in those 5 years, the people are still
right.
lost.
Right.
Ever.
But
right.
in this instance, you know, it was a correct registered agent address. It was a wrong name.
Well,
so I need to contact a manager or something at the Florida Department of State. And, you know, I don't know what they can do about this one now, because it's over a year ago, but they do need to be, their examiners need to be more diligent when they review documents, because it truly needs to be as our name is registered with the Department of State, not something else. And
right.
we've had instances where my name, Karen E. Elliott, was listed as the registered agent.
Right, right.
At
well,
that 1540 Glenway Drive,
Elliott,
you know,
Elliott.
And that causes even more issues.
I would be happy with all of that, except the part that really gets me confused at the next step, when we have the incorporator saying her name's been fraudulently used. And then it looks like not only was your company part of, not part of, let me be clear
right,
about
she's
that.
Not...
Company name was misused, however it was misused, and part of what appears to be an unfolding fraud. And I think it's a smart move that you go to the Department of State and letter this and say, this is exactly what happened. This is what we know. Maybe you can disclose more information to them than you are to us. I don't know what that requires, but whatever. And I would also notify, I would say, the authorities that your name was improperly used in the setting up of a corporation.
That person
should be investigated for doing that, because technically I'm confused right now. Was the agent, were you truly the agent? And therefore, if you weren't, how can you resign? And if you were, that answers some questions for me.
Well,
legally.
Elliot, if we can back up here a little second, I want to point her to a couple of things specifically, but to address what you're saying, as I understand what Karen's saying, is that her company knows that the information went in falsely to the Secretary of State, but right now she doesn't actually know if it was the direct client that did it or if the direct client had Joe Schmo from Kokomo out in Alaska that did it, okay?
Correct.
So, but at the same time, we do know that the client apparently took no action to correct with the Department of State. The client sent no information to her company to correct. The client never paid a bill to her company. If I can point you, Karen, just to try to minimize any reading that someone might be doing, in that federal case filing, under document number 214, which is the motion filed on February 24th of this year.
I've got it up.
Yeah, paragraphs 146 through 153 is what references the conversations. It doesn't actually name Melissa by name out of your Tallahassee office, but that's who it's referring to. It does refer to the Tallahassee address. It does refer to ISL. And just to give you a time frame, that was filed February 24th. It was February 18th, 6 days before that the conversation with Melissa took place in the Secretary of State conversations. And what Elliot did not know when he filed this on February 24th and was on a conference call with the federal court the next day on February 25th, what he did not learn for several days was that it was February 23rd is when the brain fragments in the head all get discovered in the home. So these are serious things that have taken place. The entire family of Mitchell Hewam is pursuing actions with the Florida State Attorney General and federal authorities because it appears that there has been a misinvestigation and cover-up where the actual Palm Beach County sheriffs for over 45 days have refused to answer really basic questions as to who actually even found the body originally and what time it really was after they've given multiple contradictions. So there's a lot of things in the background here.
And why they contacted your company.
Right. And here's the other name that I wanted to give you. Lawrence, and it's Laurence Pino, an attorney out of Orlando. He actually refers to your company several times in a recorded statement with one of the Palm Beach investigators. And, you know, you could probably
you give her that case number. You should give her the case number. She sounds like she's pretty...
I don't have the case number offhand, Elliot. You could just actually even give her the MP3 audio file that they disclosed under FOIL. You hear Lawrence Pino referring to your company several times as if it's almost like some type of go-to company to keep things hidden really, really well. He goes, yeah, we even went through ISL. We went through ISL. So Lawrence Pino, you now have a name, and I can swear to you that I've heard this audio tape. The audio tape was obtained through a Freedom of Information request because of the
I'm familiar
death.
With FOIA.
Yep, and I'm not trying to you know.
FOIA the Hewam case. Do yourself a favor. I won't send you the file, but I know you're smart enough to FOIA it now. Get their record. because your name's all over it, and he's trying to legitimize
Let's be clear. Karen's name is not all over it, because I just got Karen's name today. ISL is referred to several times in an interview in relation to the dead body. Okay, this interview came up in relation to the dead body of Mitchell Hewam, who's the one who had done work with Trump. Okay, it's Mitchell Hewam's brain fragments that are found in this garage. Lawrence Pino is interviewed in relation to the dead body and is trying to suggest that everything was done properly through ISL.
In the home sale, right. Yeah.
And in the home sale.
And he knows about the issues with Leilani. He knew about, right after he knows about that, that's when Mitchell supposedly dies. Well, when they find him dead. And so, you know, the important thing, Kevin,
the other thing to understand, is that ISL is right now, or whatever your entity is in the middle of claims of fraudulent transfer of property, of real estate and property, and family members that are looking to actually tie that into the potential murder of their brother, which in all cases, from anyone that's looked at it from the outside, looks like murder based upon all the information that's been turned over, which contradicts itself internally about 1,000 times over. What time the body was found, who found it, what time it was declared, you name it. So
that information for you, I look forward to hearing, and you can have him call Kevin, the president of the company. And this certainly rides.
Listen. They have their own internal controls, Elliot. You're going to do whatever
you do. Well, I'm going to call him anyways, but, you know.
I would like to ask that you allow and that you'll trust that I'm
going
him first thing tomorrow. And I can't say, I don't know what his schedule is like tomorrow, but I do know that he will treat this seriously, and he and I, or both of us, will get back to you by the end of the week, and I hope that's reasonable.
Right. Just on the property that sounds incredibly reasonable, Karen. On the property transfer, alone that's alleged to have occurred through, you know, because of this shell improper filing game that your company's in the middle of, at least by name, there's a several $1 million claim that Elliot's asserting on that alone. And then it's alleged that the filings themselves, the false filings.
I can't serve process.
Well, right, that's the problem. He's got no one to serve process on. And then you now have then there's claims that are probably going to be coming forward from the Hewam family members as to how they kind of took the property through that shell company, Lion's Head Land Trust, because it gets very complicated. But there's a lot of claims, litigation claims, that will be coming forward in general, and ISL's role in the middle of all that is, you know, that's why we're trying to get information today, because we're trying to find out who's who, what's what, and who's behind door number 3, and that's where it's at.
Okay, what is some good contact information, Kevin, for you?
Sure. 518-755-8128, and I want to give you an alternate number as well, which is the number I'm calling you from, and sometimes it doesn't always, the voicemail doesn't always activate, but it's 347-480-1466.
Okay.
And
Kevin, what did you say your last name was?
It's H-A-L-L.
Okay.
Yep. And in the event that Kevin is not findable somehow, my name is Elliot, E-L-I-O-T, Bernstein, B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N, and I can be reached at 561-245-8588 or 561-886-7628.
Right. And what Elliot was trying to suggest in the earlier dialogue is that this one transaction with the Lion's Head Land Trust actually may be part of a much larger fraud at play with shell companies, shell games. So doing the due diligence of your client on your client at this point could be a really, really smart thing for ISL based on the information that we have to date. Again, you know, the special agent of the FBI who's taken information on ISL that we have to date was already investigating, in fact, had prosecuted an insider trading case that was tying in companies from New York City, New Jersey, Philadelphia, down into Palm Beach County and Boca Raton, and has an open investigation with one of the persons in that case that ties into this case. That's a special agent of the FBI out of the Jersey, Philadelphia area. It's the only information I feel comfortable to disclose at this point. But yeah, that's where that person's from.
Okay.
Yep. So, you know, again, I wasn't trying to give you any details for shock factor or any of that. It's the fact that there are very, you know, potentially serious things at play here. No one's quite sure how your company's been used, but clearly your company has been used.
Okay, so what I'll do is I will check with him first thing tomorrow.
Okay.
And I will give him all the information. I took a lot of notes. I have a copy of the docket.
Right.
I downloaded that and I sent it to him. I wrote down specifically paragraph 146 where it starts to talk about ISL, mm-hmm. and I've got both of your contact information. Kevin, I think that it would be best if we try you first.
Yep.
And if you're not reachable, Elliot will call you, but I think that we need to have the same type of setup where you're both on the line.
Sure, sure. And just a little thing that the 518 number I gave you, actually, it's the best number to reach me at currently. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of these smartphone mobile phones that's mm-hmm. having some difficulty with the software on the microphone end so that I can hear people and they can't hear me. So what I've been doing, I just got to go buy a new phone, is sometimes people are just leaving messages and then I'm just calling them back from my other number.
Okay.
So I can see the call come in, I can hear the voicemail, and then I can just return the call quickly. I mean, I can.
All right, then that's probably what we'll do then. If we can't reach you on that 518 number, we'll leave a number, yep. probably his direct line,
yep.
or it might be mine if he wants to come in here, and then we'll wait for you to call us back.
Is it okay to get your direct number?
Sure.
Okay, and I'm sorry, that would be 302?
Yep, 531.
Yep.
0719.
So, and I'm sorry, you said you're the assistant vice president for
client development.
Client development. Okay,
mm-hmm.
excellent.
Okay, and one last thing on your notes, you should include that your company's name is being used in an ongoing investigation.
Yep, I wrote that down.
And I
put on here that we're going to contact the Department of State, which we'll probably do first before we call you,
right.
And talk to a manager there.
Well, here's a real good thing on that one, just to take a couple other quick names and notes. On that day of February 18th of 2016, and this will be, you know, my testimony in federal court, right, to the FBI, whatever it is. I started with I won't say your because I didn't know it as your incorporating services. I started with whatever company came up at the physical address, whatever that is, 1540, whatever, in Tallahassee. My first call that day was with Melissa, and it was
mm-hmm.
after that I spoke to Melissa, who said the state should have flagged this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I initiated a call to the Division of Corporations and spoke with Melanie Sellers, Sellers, who said she worked directly with the director of the Division of Business, or whatever, Division of Corporations, I guess. Now, Melanie had said on that date that she would be taking the information into the director, who's Brenda somebody, I forget Brenda's last name.
Yep, that sounds right.
And also an inquiry was going to go out to the examiner on file that they have as a Sylvia Gilbert that you'll see from that land trust document that that's got all the fossil information on it. Now, we didn't do any follow-up with the Secretary of State until today, at which point I spoke again with Melanie Sellers. A little bit evasive. She did say that an inquiry was made over to the examiner, but when we spoke to the examiner, Sylvia, whatever it is, Gilbert or something, Sylvia, she says nobody contacted her. She never got an email. She never knew anything about this fraud. You know, she did know that there was an issue with, I guess, you folks withdrawing, but no one had ever advised her all of the things that I advised Melanie of. Okay, so meaning that there could be a problem with that. That could be part of the problem right there inside the Secretary of State's office.
Yep, that sounds like it.
Right there.
Taking it and filling a report with the what was it called?
Division of Consumer Services or Division of Corporations?
So the two people in her in the Department of State that she's notifying of what we talked about today and
Sylvia's immediate supervisor is a bureau chief level. We did not speak to that person. Her name is Lynn Schoffstall, Schoffstall. That's her immediate supervisor, bureau chief, but then above her is the division director, Brenda.
I've heard Brenda's name before.
Yep, so. All right.
You're sending an update of today's conversation with us to Brenda.
What's that?
So she's sending Sylvia a internal communication to Brenda of what we talked about today.
Well, I thought she was taking it to her supervisor, the bureau chief, directly first, and letting the bureau chief decide where to go from there. But
might be whichever way. Right, you have two names. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, but at least also for your information, she's elevating it and notifying proper parties.
Okay, so they're already aware. So when we call and talk to them, it shouldn't be news to them. But we're going to speak to them from our perspective and let them know that this is caused, you know, that they need to be more diligent when they review documents, that is part of their responsibility, is to make sure information that's listed, at least information that they can verify, is correct.
Right.
And that is specifically the registered agent name, because that address is correct. That is Incorporating Services address in Florida.
Right, so it had the address correct, but the name
is the address is correct, but the name was not correct.
Right, and the name is not the name of an active valid company. Right, right, right.
Right.
And
then when you look it up, it doesn't even point back to that address anywhere in that record.
Exactly.
Well, I would point that all to them, as well as the fact that they should do a better job flagging things. The one thing you should be reporting to them is that you feel that your name was misused. And
there should be a separate form.
Question, Kevin,
like,
hold on. The question you need to ask them was your withdrawal proper? If you weren't the registered agent legally, can you legally withdraw as registered agent? You should ask them that question.
Right.
Because I'm confused. I know if somebody doesn't pay your fee, that's a reason out. That's great. But what we're talking about here is different. You never were the person. I don't even know how you build somebody, but we'll figure that part out next. But the bottom line, do you see what I'm saying? You need to be clear with them that the reason you're calling tomorrow is also to find out if you properly withdrew. Meaning if you weren't legally the entity that's there, then you legally really can't resign.
Right. How do you resign from something that you never were? But right. here's the nuance, Elliot. Here's the nuance is that there should be a process, because the implication to anybody reading a resignation of registered agent is that you actually were the registered agent, right?
Right.
And that you folks might actually legally, I mean, I could see a judge saying, hey, you know, they resigned. So if they resigned, they must have been in this game for at least however many months until they resigned. And therefore, you know, they were blocking getting proper process too, because, or something, you know what I'm saying? Just
that's a really big inference. I have to say, it is. I mean, and so what I'm going to do at this point, what I'm going to do at this point is I've got all the notes. I have that docket. I'm going to go talk to the president in the morning as soon as we both are in, and we'll do what we need to do on our end. We will contact you by the end of the week.
Yeah,
I think I have all the information I need to go talk to him at this point.
No, sure. And just to clarify that, that's not made as an allegation. It's made.
Sounded
it's,
like it.
Well, it's made as from trying to protect yourselves moving forward, right? That the secretary, because if you're trying to clarify something with the Secretary of State, there should be a different process to correct that. Like you said, how can you go in and correct something that you weren't part of the filings anyway? There should
right.
be there should. I was trying to get at the
and
point
that of, is and that is above me. That is at a Department of State level in Florida that I have no control over their statutes. So let us do what we need to do on our end. I've got both of your contact information. Mm-hmm. I will go talk to the president tomorrow, and we will be in touch by the end of the week.
Sounds very good. Thanks. I totally appreciate
okay.
your time today. Thank you,
yep.
Karen.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.